But we're so excited that you are here. I am a sports guy, so I apologize. Sometimes I can act like I'm an athletic. Anybody here knows how to act athletic here? So nobody. Okay, so I'm the only one that knows how to act athletic. There are different sports out there. I am a soccer player. I was okay here there, but I am nowhere in the class of Messi and Ronaldo. Maybe you've heard of them in soccer. Those two are like the top players of all time. There's always that debate. Who is the greatest soccer player? And in football, you have like Lawrence Taylor. Maybe some of you remember that. And either you love him or you absolutely hate him. Tom Brady, right? Some of you guys are like, and he's coming back. What, he's like 54 years old? And people hate him because he wins so much. But there's a debate there. In boxing, there's a debate. Who's the greatest? Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, whomever. Or even in baseball, you have Mike Trout or even Pete Rose. Some of you guys have no idea who Pete Rose is. But there's this debate. But there is one sport where there is no debate. It's actually like, you know, there's no issue. I mean, by far, he is the greatest basketball player of all time. You may not even have ever seen him play, but it's Michael Jordan, right? Michael Air Jordan. Some of you wear shoes called Jordans, have no idea there was actually a guy named Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan is by far the greatest. It doesn't even come close. There's Michael Jordan and then everyone else, right? I know the playoffs are starting and Curry is pretty good and Durant's pretty good, but Michael Jordan is incredible. In fact, Gatorade still has a commercial package for Jordan just in case he comes out of retirement. He's 60 years old, okay? Michael Jordan is the greatest. But the debate begins is when was Michael Jordan at his best? Was it the first time he won three championships or the second time he won three championships? When was Michael Jordan his absolute best? I want to challenge you this morning with that same question as it pertains to Jesus. When was Jesus at his best? What was or when was the most amazing thing that Jesus ever did? For me, I mean, one of the things I love about God is how he does things big. He is magnanimous. I love that word. He does things so huge and so big. So for me, it has to be when he created things. The Bible says that he created the heavens and the earth. He created big things. He created small things. He created things that we can't even see, like the right mixture in the air that allows us to breathe on every day. God, in his incredible wisdom, designed the wing of a bird so it can soar through the sky. He designed the human eye. And no matter how great your phone is, if it's an Apple phone, it's not that great. But no matter how big your phone is, the human eye cannot be replicated. God, in his amazing wisdom, he put salt water on earth and it evaporates and becomes clouds. And then water comes from the clouds and it's not salt water, it's fresh water. That's one smart brother, right? In all his wisdom, he made this thing and that thing, but God in his wisdom, his ordinary wisdom, made man. He didn't need a lot of wisdom, right, ladies, to make man? Just threw some dirt around and say, there you go. But God needed all his wisdom to make woman, right, ladies? Because they're so complicated. Be careful. Is your wife here? You're allowed to say that. So it has to be when God was at his best, it has to be at his creation, right? Nope. Well, maybe Jesus is at his best when he was full of his righteousness and holiness and he did some cool and amazing things. I mean, Jesus was so holy, it was oozing out of him. There's a story where a woman sneaks up behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak and she was instantly healed. And there was another time where Jesus encounters someone with leprosy, which was a really, really bad disease of the skin. And there was a rule out there that you had to stay 6 feet away from someone who was a leper, and if the wind was blowing, you had to stay 30 feet away because you had the cooties. I think that was the first COVID, right? And Jesus was so holy, and he was so clean, so pure, he can make other people's uncleansingness clean. And that's what Jesus does for you and for me. So it had to be, when Jesus was at his best, it had to be when he healed people, when he helped people, we healed the blind and the deaf and the mute and so on. That had to be when Jesus was at his best. Nope. Well, maybe it was when Jesus demonstrated his humility and offered himself as a sacrifice for all mankind. Jesus, he came, he lived, and he willingly died on the cross for the sins of the world, your sins and my sins. He walked on earth for like 33 years, and he loved the unlovable. He touched the untouchable, and he healed the unhealable. But at the end, they ripped out his beard, they punched him and spat in his face, and they hung him on the tree like a criminal, and Jesus didn't complain once. In fact, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't really know what they are doing." He did all of that for you and for me, for the entire world. The Bible says we all have sin. We all have this disease called sin, and we fall short of the glory of God. So Jesus, in humility, came out of heaven. I know that seems weird and crazy, but became a man and let man kill him and crucify him. He gave his life for you and for me. And don't get it twisted. I mean, this Jesus dying on the cross wasn't a tragedy. It wasn't a murder. He got up there because of love. He who had no sin became sin. So that had to be, that has to be when Jesus was at his best. Nope. Well, it is Easter, right? For crying out loud. I mean, it had to be when Jesus rose from the dead. He defeated death and he defeated sin. The Bible says that when he died, that in the middle of the day, it was dark for 3 hours, and Satan probably celebrated. He probably got all his boys together and said, "Let's party like it's 1999. Some of you guys were born after 1999. Have no idea what that reference is. And 3 days later, he was in a tomb. He was sealed up, and he was wrapped up, and he was guarded by soldiers. And no matter what the History Channel says, no one stole the body. Something happened on that day. In fact, our calendars reflect that something happened, and what happened is that he rose. Jesus got up and he conquered death, and in doing so, and him rising from the dead, he tells us, he tells you, he tells me that he can deliver on all his promises. He's better than a UPS man, he's better than a mailman, he's definitely better than an Amazon guy, okay, or gal. He can deliver. But Jesus, he died for the entire world, he died for you and for me, even though we deserved it. He is the eternal one. He demonstrated his power over death. And so when you die, and we all will face that at some point in our lives, we all will die. If your Savior is dead, what good is it? Jesus, he's alive. And if he's alive, that means he can deliver on everything that he promises. Buddha, he can't help you. Muhammad can't help you. Confucius can't help you. They're all dead. But our God, our Christ, is alive. Today, you can go to Israel. I've been there. My wife has been there. You can go to Israel and wait in line to see an empty tomb. You got to buy a ticket to see that. But he's not there. He rose from the dead. My dad was a huge Bruce Lee fan, and 1973, Bruce Lee died, and tragically died. But there was a theory or a myth that went out there that 10 years later that Bruce Lee would rise from the dead. And sure enough, in 1983, a whole bunch of people went to Seattle, where he's buried, Seattle, Washington, that is. And they spent days, they spent weeks and months hoping that Bruce Lee would die. But 1983 has come and gone, and he's still there. And he's still dead. But Jesus, he rose from the dead. He proved to everybody that he is indeed God, that he's able and willing to deliver on all of his promises. So it has to be, that has to be when Jesus was at his best. This is why we are here. It's Easter, right? Nope. Uh-oh. John 21, starting in verse 15. It's going to be on your screen. I love this passage. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, now Simon Peter, this guy, I call him Pete, Jesus has already died. He's already risen from the dead. He did something magnanimous. He did something huge. It's incredible. And now they're sitting there having a meal. They're having a meal. He's just hanging out with them. And he says to him, Jesus says to Peter, his boy, one of his guys, he says, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? And yes, Lord, he said, this is Peter now speaking. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus says, take care of my sheep. The third time he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus says, well, feed my sheep. Truly, I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said, this is to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said, follow me. This right here is Jesus at his best. And some of you are like, what? It's Easter. That's not how it's supposed to go. What's the big idea? What's the big deal? They're just eating. They're having a barbecue. They're just barbecuing fish on the seashore. What's the big idea? But Peter, a.k.a. I call him Pete, by the way. And Pete, he used to be one of Jesus' followers. He was Jesus' like closest, dare I say, friend. I mean, there was one time that Peter actually said, hey, Jesus, I will follow you anywhere and everywhere. I will go where you go. Even if someone threatens to kill me, I will never leave your side. And lo and behold, there was a time where that was put to test. Jesus is arrested and Peter follows him to trial and someone says, man, I recognize you. You look like the guy that everyone called Peter, and you and I, we're like Peter. We say what's, sometimes we say what's in our heart. Sometimes we open our mouths and stick our foot right in. And Peter said some good things and not so good things. But Peter, he hears this person. He said, I don't even know Jesus. I don't know him. He's scared for his life. Why would I have anything to do with him? And someone says, no. I thought I saw you. He said, man, I don't know that guy. I don't want anything to do with him. And then he's asked again. And then the third time, he says, man, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. And then he curses Jesus' name. He says, I don't know this guy. Jesus is at his best when a person like Peter, who could deny Christ three times, can be restored and forgiven and used by God. Jesus, hear me on this, Jesus is at his best when a prostitute, a drug dealer, a drug addict, a sinner, a thief, a liar can come to Jesus no matter what is going on in their lives and get on their hands and knees and says, please, 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 if you can find anywhere in your heart to just kind of look my way or kind of forgive me or kind of like me or love me, Jesus says, bring it. I love you. I love you with all your junk, even the stuff that you think you can hide from me. I love you. And Jesus said, man, all you got to do is come to me and ask for forgiveness. And I think that is the most difficult action for every human being. It's forgiveness. I know I'm a pastor, and I hope this doesn't shock you, but I struggle with forgiveness. You don't have to raise your hand. I struggle with forgiveness a little bit. There's people, I'm a guy, right? And one of the things that guys hate or we don't like, we hate being disrespected, right, fellas? Amen. And sometimes when someone disrespects us, you're like, okay, all right, here we go. I'm going to lay some hands on you. And not holy hands, you know what I'm saying? It's hard sometimes. Forgiveness is hard. It's difficult. It's not easy. It is messy. We don't even do forgiveness right. We struggle with it. There are some people that hate forgiveness. Like if you're, let's just take like a scenario, right? Like say you're married and you were wrong. You just happened to be wrong that day and you know you're wrong. And usually people in my house, not me, but usually people, when they're wrong, they talk louder. And they talk louder and they talk louder, just trying to be more right loudly, and you're still wrong. And then it's time you realize this and you have to ask for forgiveness. And here's the thing with forgiveness, when you go to that someone who you're looking for forgiveness, you like it's really hard, and sometimes they don't even want to talk to you. They get in their car or they walk away and you're following them along because we don't know how to do forgiveness right. It's messy, it's hard, it's difficult, and some of us, we like forgiveness too much. And what I mean is sometimes there's people in our lives, and maybe you know them, that you're always walking on pins and needles, and hopefully you don't say the wrong thing because they will jump on anything you say. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I got to ask for forgiveness again. I'm like, all I said was you look pretty today. Well, why did you say that? You know? Forgiveness is hard. It is messy. We don't even know how to do it right. And it's difficult. And quite honestly, sometimes we just don't do it at all. Because it's messy, it's confusing, it's emotional. But here's the thing with Jesus. He says, I'll forgive you. No matter what you got, I'll forgive you. No matter what's in your closet, all you got to do is come to me and I will forgive you. When Jesus was nailed to that tree, it was because of us. It was because of you. It was because of all of us. It was because of his love. He's like, man, they can spit in my face. They can beat my face and they can do all these things to me because I love you and I forgive you. Jesus is the only one that you could come to and like, okay, God, you sure? You could take all my stuff. And it's like, Jesus, I got you, boo. I'll forgive you. I got it. I'll take care of it. This is Jesus at his best. You see, what good is it for God to rise from the dead 20 times if he doesn't offer forgiveness? What good is it if God can walk on water every day and twice on Sunday if he doesn't offer forgiveness? What good is it if God can heal every person, raise everyone from the dead, make poor people rich if he doesn't offer forgiveness? If you never received forgiveness, if you never received eternal life, if you never received a renewed mind, what good is all his wisdom? What good is all his love if you never received it in your heart? And that's the difficult thing about forgiveness. It's hard for us sometimes to even receive it. And God says, man, I forgive you. Sometimes God's like, man, I've already kind of forgiven you. All you got to do is receive it. That's difficult. God who created all things, he created the earth, the moon, the sun, the sky. He created the big whales and he created the small snails. He created the platypus. How creative is God if he created the platypus? He created the owl that goes hoo, hoo. And all his vast, all his incredibleness, he comes to you and to me on a personal level. And he says, man, I've forgiven you. All you got to do is receive it. This is Jesus at his best. And some of you, you need Jesus at his absolute best. You need that. And Jesus says, come to me with all your guilt, with all your shame, with all your issues. Jesus is like the perfect guy. He says, I take all your issues. I'll take all your baggage if you just leave it with me. That is Jesus at his best, but again, you and I, we have to receive it. And the way you receive it is you say, God, you know, would you forgive me? God's like, yeah, I forgive you. Well, God, would you accept me as your Lord? And say, he's absolutely. I'll come. I've already did all the work. I've died on the cross for your sins and my sins and the sins of the entire world. I've cleansed you. I've washed you. I've done that. Just you and me are together now. We're in a relationship. And some of you all think this way, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. And this is how you think. This is how I used to think. Well, I'm a pretty decent person. I'm a pretty good person. And if you are in that category, that's awesome. That is great. Double thumbs up to you. You're a good person. High five, chest bump, whatever you want to do. You're a good and awesome person. I don't want to dispute that, but here's the problem. There are no good people in heaven. There's only forgiven people. And Jesus offers that to you, to me, to us all. There's no good people in heaven, just forgiven people. He's done all the work. We can't be arrogant enough that, man, if I just act a certain way and then Jesus will approve me. No, 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 no. All you got to do is come to him and receive his incredible love and receive his incredible sacrifice, what he's done for you and for me. Don't leave here today after hearing another Easter-type message. Okay, I heard it. I checked the box. I pleased the wife, or I pleased the husband. I made the kids happy, or I just had nothing better to do. It's kind of windy out, and I'm waiting for the nice weather. Don't leave today without receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've already done that. Maybe you accepted him already. Stop hanging on to all the things that he's already forgiven you for. Leave it at the cross. He's got it. He's got you. He's got you, boo. And maybe today is the day where you finally make that decision. Okay. I haven't figured out exactly what that all means about, you know, being a follower of Jesus, but I want that forgiveness. If at any time in my life I need Jesus at his best, it's right now. Do you not know what's going on in my life? Do you not know the issues? And I'm not here to tell you that all of a sudden you accept Jesus and everything's going to work out. You know, some of the issues that you did, you got on your own. But God's like, okay, we can work with that. I still love you. We'll still travel with this together. And I will help you endure what you're going through. But let today be the day we accept him as your Lord and Savior. Because Jesus, he's done the work. He's died on the cross for the entire world's sin. That includes yours. That includes mine. But Jermaine, you don't know how bad my sin is. I don't need to know. God already does. He said, I got you covered. I can handle that. But you got to receive him. Got to receive him. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for being at your best, for loving us, for dying on the cross, for raising from the dead, and even forgiving us of all of our sins, all of our junk, all of our trash, all the things that we have hidden. We thank you, Lord God. And every eyes closed and head bowed. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're here today ready to receive that forgiveness. Maybe today is the day where you say, okay, I need Jesus at his best. I want that forgiveness. I may not know exactly how everything works out, but I want that forgiveness. If God will forgive me of anything, I need that today. Maybe that is you today. If you're ready to receive, just pray this in the privacy of your heart. Heavenly Father, please forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. I want to make you Lord of my life. So please come in, Lord. I want to follow you, and I hope you can be patient and help me with that. I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. With every eye closed and head bowed, if you prayed that prayer, just look up at me and I'll find you. Amen. 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 Yeah. Amen. Amen. You can just put your head down, eyes closed. Lord God, there may be some people here who are not ready. The great thing about God, he is always ready for you. So whether it's today, whether it's this last song, maybe you have more questions. Maybe you're not ready to jump full in both feet. Maybe you're just willing to put your toe in there. And man, I would love to talk with you. We have a whole bunch of people. You can meet somebody at the lobby. We have a whole bunch of people that will just love to help you answer whatever questions you may have. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious and awesome day. We thank you that you are always at your best, ready to receive us, ready to forgive us. We thank you, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. Before you leave, after this last song, we have a book out in the lobby. Anyone can take that. We have a whole bunch of books. Maybe you've prayed that prayer. I'll be up here afterwards. Pastor David is available as well. Or, you know, I don't feel comfortable talking to the pastor and whatever. And that's okay. That's cool. But on your way out, if you want to grab a book, it simply says, How Good Is Good Enough. It's a great book. It talks about it can't really be good enough. You could be forgiven now. You could be forgiven. Why don't we go ahead and stand up as our worship team leads us in this last song.